Woohoo! And welcome again to Outside the Box. Today's topic is fairness. In a previous Outside the Box, I talked about the unfairness of our political system, especially how gerrymandering manipulates our legislatures, our Congress, and our whole attitude about politics. It makes many votes meaningless, because districts are lopsided in party affiliation, so almost all elections are foregone conclusions. Even more important, some state legislatures are dominated by one political party, even though a majority of voters, small though that may have cast ballots for a different party. Political parties use techniques to gain power that often prevent fairness and leads to governments run by a party that does not represent a majority of voters in that state. Authors Stephen Levitsky and Daniel Ziblatt call this by the fancy word counter-majoritarian. Minorities control governments and policies, not a majority of voters. Here are some examples. One obvious one is the Electoral College, wherein in both the year 2000 and 2016, the presidential candidate with the most votes did not win because only the Electoral College vote counted. It could happen again in 2024. This strange system, not used in any other country, came about as a compromise in 1787 to allow southern states to have greater voting power by counting slaves as part of their population. It also meant, and means this year, that almost all the attention by Republican and Democratic Party candidates goes to a handful of so-called swing states. This makes most votes and voters seem irrelevant because the outcome in most states is already predicted. If elections were based on whoever got the most total votes in the country, then every vote would be meaningful. Unlike many countries in other parts of the world, the U.S. does not have a multi-district system, also called proportional representation, for electing representatives. Each district is separate, with one person elected. Whoever gets the most votes, whether over 50%, or less than that, is the winner, except where ranked choice voting exists. Such multi-district systems allow so-called third parties, like the Greens, to have representatives in legislatures. A district with 10 slots would allow that party to have one representative if a Green candidate received about 10% of the vote. Do we need both a House and Senate to pass federal legislation, especially when the U.S. Senate gives extra power to the smallest states? Little Vermont has the same power in that body as does California, which has about 70 times more people. And the Senate allows just 41 senators to stop almost any legislation, based on its filibuster rules. If we must have a Senate, the distribution of senators should be changed. Some states make it easy to vote, while others make it more difficult. It's called voter suppression, perhaps because there's no constitutional provision giving every citizen the right to vote. In many states, those convicted of a felony cannot vote, even after being released from prison or jail. In perhaps every state, elections are overseen by partisan rather than nonpartisan officials, though those partisan officials can practice fairness. Other examples. How about the makeup of the Supreme Court? No other country offers members of its highest court lifetime appointments. All either use term limits or mandatory retirement ages. And residents of Washington, D.C. have no official representation in either House or Senate. They must depend on annual appropriations from Congress. Our constitutional structure is over 200 years old and has not aged well. Since majorities are often thwarted in attempts to utilize the power they should have, and constitutional amendments are hard to pass, just over one per decade, because they require two-thirds approval by both houses of Congress and then three-fourths of all states, 38 of 50. Given the wide divisions in Congress and among states on various issues, any amendments seem hard to even imagine today. Maybe it's time for reform to get more fairness for majorities back into our government system. Do you think our Constitution and political process needs updating? I'm Larry Danziger, ready for big changes in how our election system works.